In a world crying out for a top 10 show. John Rocha and Matt Nost are here. So grab your assigned seat, sit back, and enjoy this week's top 10. Brought to you by the Schmoes No Network. Take it away, boys.
Welcome, everybody, to the Top 10 Show Recap and Review. This week we're tackling... I'm sorry. This is John Rocha.
Hi, I'm Matt Nost.
This week, we're tackling Bridge of Spies, the new Steven Spielberg film with Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, if you're a new listener, welcome. If you're an old listener, welcome. Just know this is a very spoiler-heavy
review. I was
about
to say, spoilers, that's the first thing that jumps to mind.
Yeah.
Just because we sometimes forget.
We do.
And then we get like five sentences into, and then the character does this, and then this thing, and then, oh, fuck, that just ruined the movie for you.
Oh, the ship sank. Oh,
yeah,
shit.
I don't think that's possible with this movie.
No, right.
Because you already know.
If you study history, American history. So
you know where it's going, at least even from the trailers. It's just like, hey, it's a movie about spies.
Yeah.
Where do you think it's going to go?
So what did you think, Matt? What did you...
I like it. You know what's funny is, so after the last one we did, people talking in a theater.
Oh, yes.
I saw it yesterday. I went and had lunch with my father-in-law.
Oh, great.
So we met him for lunch, and then he was like, hey, I want to see that. Do you care? And we're like, no. So we just went to a theater down by him. And, you know, it was middle of the afternoon at like 3, I think it was 3:40 was the start time. Yeah. So it was all old people, and then me and my wife and her dad. And you know what? They were chatting through the whole movie. People were checking their phones. I saw more bathroom breaks than I've ever seen in my life. Didn't care, because you're like, that's all old people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not a bunch of young punks.
For it.
Yeah. You know going in. You know what? They've earned this. That's fine. You got to take five, you know, bathroom breaks. That sucks. I'm probably going to be there one day myself.
Yeah.
So enjoy. Go ahead. But there were people, like, there was a dude sitting behind us that was over-explaining to his wife.
Oh.
The dumbest shit. And you're like, oh, my God, really? She can't follow along on that level? What's going on? Okay, so he just showed, that's the German guy. You're like, oh, my God, of course it is. They've only introduced so many characters. But still enjoy the movie. It didn't take away from it, did like it did in the last review we did for The Martian.
Martian, right.
Or two reviews ago, recap right. And review. But yeah, I liked it a lot. What'd you think?
I liked it too. I thought it was a good movie. Maybe at times very good, but not great.
Yeah. Early Oscar buzz.
Oh, yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah. It's a solid movie.
Yeah, I mean, maybe for the acting. Like Mark Rylance. Mark Rylance is the...
He's great.
He's fantastic as the Russian spy. I took a workshop from him, or I had an interview with him in 98 when we were studying in London through Florida State. He came and spoke to us because he was at the RSC at the time. And so... He's like that. What you saw in the movie, he is that kind of way. He's very like stoic. He's very thoughtful. He's very like, it's fascinating to watch how he uses that as an actor when he does his work. And so I don't think you're ever going to see him in like a crazy role. He just is not built that way.
No.
So it was perfect casting. And you could see two different styles of acting with Hanks and with him, yet both very, very
well. Oh, yeah.
Well
the marriage
done.
Between the two of them is great.
Yeah, right?
They play off each other really well.
Yeah.
And I especially like the early scene where Hanks and Rylance meet up, and mm-hmm. he's got to basically prove his bona fides of why
right.
he should kind of let him handle the case.
Right.
And that eventually just goes, you know, have you ever tried?
Right.
Anybody, you know, any traitors? Nope, you're my first. But I like that it's, you know, that he was an insurance claims attorney.
Yeah.
A very good one.
Yes.
At the top of his game, but at the same time.
Yeah.
And the negotiation for the spy as basically collateral as a future policy.
Right.
Makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't you?
Right. And those are the best parts of the movie. The negotiations are the
100%.
Best parts of the movie. Like
yeah.
the best acting, the best conversations, the best back and forth is Hanks. And he's acting opposite all these different, like, well-known actors in their own countries. The German actor and the Russian, they're both the Russian actor and also Mark Rylance. They're all very well known in their own countries as very, very good, solid actors, but different styles. And you see Hanks playing with all of them as he does his work as an actor. And it's fascinating. It's so good to watch. It's so fun to watch that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And then you see, the story, the history story of everything that's happening. It's a fun,
which is great, and it's also like the. At first, I was unaware of why they were building the B-2 bomber story up so much,
right?
And then eventually, you're like, oh, okay. What the idea of we use him as an insurance policy and eventually we can trade him for, and it's like, okay, that's why they're doing that
right.
plot and whatnot. But it is all these simultaneous interests of various governments yeah. working against each other, yeah. which it's interesting to look back now knowing that the threat was real but never came to fruition.
Right.
So it's all posturing is basically yeah. all either side is doing at any given time.
Right.
But it's great to see the nuance of that and the statecraft of I can't officially acknowledge you.
Right.
But you are acting on our behalf, and the credit will come after if you manage to pull it off.
Right.
And from all sides, like, hey, GDR, we're not going to accept that prisoner because we're not willing to say that you're an actual country because we're in dispute of all of this.
Right.
So you're not going to get what you want. And that happened.
Right.
That was a real conversation yeah. that happened on some level.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is when the credits rolled, I didn't know it was written by the Coens, or part written.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, part of three people, the two Coens and another gentleman.
Yeah.
Because there were some Coen-esque characters, and I was like, that's really interesting for Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
Like the take on Dulles.
Yeah.
It was like a junior Coen brothers character. While I was watching, I was like, wow, it's yeah. it's like Coen-esque.
He could have been in, what was that one with Malkovich and Clooney? And Brad Pitt?
Son of a, Burn After Reading.
Burn After Reading. He could have, that guy could have been in Burn After Reading.
Yeah,
that
easily.
That character could have been in Burn After Reading, yeah. I agree with you, dude. But I think their punch-ups are what you see in the back and forths. You can tell the style mm-hmm. with the style of the dialogue is very much style Coen's style. And so there are certain moments where I could tell it was totally the Coens who wrote that scene. You could just see from the rhythm of the dialogue, you know, and that was fun to catch that. And because I knew going in, right?
Yeah, I didn't know until the credits rolled.
Yeah, I might have gone back and be like, where the fuck would I have seen
yeah.
that?
Yeah. But yeah, if you're going into it going, all right, I will study this in a different
right.
you know, light, right. just because, oh, let's see how much influence, who did what, see yeah. if we can figure out the line between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Tom Hanks was great, especially in a couple like very specific scenes, is when he tells the young associate that he has to work that night, but he doesn't tell him that.
Right.
And he's like, I got a date, and just stares at him. And the guy was like, yeah, but I'm free. And he walks right. out, and he has that chuckle to himself because he knows full well that he's dating his daughter. But you don't find that out until the very next scene.
Right.
But the chuckle alone is just like, yeah, you know, you're a junior associate. That's what you do. You work late nights if I work late nights That's because right. you haven't earned the right to take a night off.
That's what's so great because you see that with Hanks. Like, Hanks always plays these like, usually plays these like nice guys
yeah.
who do their job. But then he has those moments where he has those moments where he has yeah, to kind of...
He digs a little.
Yeah, he digs a little. And yeah. I think that's great to... Watch that color in him now that he's an older actor.
I think it's that's also all the stories that I've heard now more is like as Tom Hanks has been Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Is that's what you hear from other celebrities and whatnot talking about him. Be like, he is the nicest guy, but he will dig a little.
Yeah.
He will twist the knife just a little because he's Tom Hanks. He's almost unassailable.
Yeah.
Like he would have to have a Cosby-like meltdown for him to lose favor with the public.
My God, the country would implode if Tom Hanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Was like a raper.
But
of children.
I mean, anything like all the even now to a new generation. Like a couple yeah. years ago, when that dude passed out at the bar, and you see that where Tom Hanks took his cell phone and took a bunch of pictures with
yep.
the drunk guy. That guy has no memory or recollection right. of meeting Tom Hanks.
Right.
And Tom Hanks fucked with you for like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
that's a great story.
Well, apparently, 2 weeks ago, he found a student ID. He found some...
Oh, and mailed it back? I heard about that. Yeah.
So he has those things that he does, right? And that's just kind of... And Murray does it. Bill Murray does the same thing.
Exactly.
Which we had our top 10 Bill Murray the other day, and it's the same thing. It's like he's...
Or it came out yesterday.
He came out...
we recorded three today because, once again, our schedules are so busy. We got a special episode coming up next week, a crossover with the Horror Flicks gentlemen.
We should have a bell for these moments to plug. Ding, 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 plug.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. You got to get right. the, you know, hey, keep it's just a matter of keeping it all straight in the timeline in your head.
That's right.
Of, okay, this is coming out before what, and this and that, and yeah.
That's why I always get away with saying the other day, because it's not a finite time. It
sure. could have
been the other day a year ago. Could have been the other day.
Yeah, time is relative.
Yeah, that's right.
And we all experience it differently.
I got to interview Austin Stoll, the actor who played Francis Gary Powers. I interviewed
him. Okay.
Yeah, for Schmoes No, they Disney wanted people to interview him, and Schmoes No was like, do you want to do this? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm still learning to do it, so I'm happy to do it anytime they ask me to do it. And it was fun to talk to him. The guy is actually a very well-spoken guy. He's on Public Morals on TNT.
I tried watching that show.
Yeah.
It was boring. Yeah. My wife and I turned it off half to two-thirds in the first episode, and we were like, nope.
Okay.
Just did not grab us at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But he was actually really well thought out about it, because he only had a month to prepare for the guy. No, he's not on screen a lot, but apparently his son, the guy's son, Francis Gary Powers' son, sent him like audio interviews that Francis Gary Powers did about the incident, did when he was writing his book, all this kind of stuff. So he would walk around New York with Francis Gary Powers' audio in his, like, in his earphones, listening over so he could get the character down. It's just fascinating. Just even the smallest part of the film, or one of smaller parts of the film, there's that much dedication.
Well, yeah, you should.
Know? Right?
Especially, like, you're lucky enough to be working in a Spielberg picture.
Exactly.
You're taking this seriously, so you're going to try and do as much as you can.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this might be an opportunity that opens up other opportunities.
Right.
Because it's Spielberg.
Well, like,
But he was good in it.
Yeah, and that's why they cast him. Spielberg cast him because he's on Public Morals, and Spielberg executive produces Public Morals.
Ah.
So he picked him out. He'd already, because it's set in the 60s, he already has the cut.
Yeah,
so
true.
It was all there. So you just put him in there, and he's a decent actor. He does a good job. I think he does a good job in the stuff that
he's not asked to do a lot.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just kind of a...
Yeah.
Couple scenes here and there that he has to speak. For the most part, he's just kind of sitting around, asks a question in a meeting once.
Right.
Like, not a whole lot.
But the scene where the plane gets shot down, that's a lot of physical
That was great.
Stuff that he's doing, which is
I
great.
Wonder if that's even remotely how it went down. Right. He managed to pull himself that back, like, close to almost. There's no way, like, his fingers quivering that close to self-destruct. Because you don't have that kind of time. You're more than likely just lunging at it and trying to swipe.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you're traveling it, you know, a few hundred miles an hour straight back to Earth.
Oh, dramatic license. What did you think about the... The reason I don't think it's 100% a great film is because they would introduce little storylines and then we didn't see them to fruition. And
which one in
like
particular?
Why even have the daughter and the junior agent storyline if that's never going to go anywhere? It's a payoff.
I guess
in a scene like two scenes later, but it's not really worth it.
Yeah, it's really not.
Right?
The joke was good enough that he had to cancel his date. We don't need to see who the date was with.
And it's the girl they cast is in The Nick. This is a woman who's
fuck. I didn't even realize that was her.
Huh? That's
really
her, The Nick. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a fan of that show.
Yeah, I like that show too. She's a up and coming actress. I don't know why she would take a part. There's nothing to the part
because it's Spielberg.
I guess
you get to work with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I guess, how do you say no to that?
I guess you're right.
Even if it's like, hey, it's a couple days shoot and it's this and, you know, it's not a whole lot on your end.
Yeah.
And you get to work with Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg.
That's true.
How do you say no to that?
I guess you're right.
Tell me if they paid you to say a line and you're in background for like three other scenes, you wouldn't do it?
No, I would do it. Of course I would do it. But if I'm a series regular on a show already, I would ask for a little bit more of a meatier part.
But that part didn't exist.
Because I'm building my part, then why do it?
Unless you make her the German girl that's in love with Pryor.
Yeah.
But she didn't have a whole hell of a lot.
Well, that's true.
She had more. Right. Like, at least more to express, but...
Do you see this Pryor? This was a good exploration, I thought, also of, like... There was a lot of echoes into what's going on nowadays. And I thought there was a lot of some subtle... echoes in the film of what we're doing now with, like, you know, Iraq and what we're doing now with ISIS. There's a little bit of that. I mean, because at the time, and you see this in the film, and we can look back on it now and be like, oh, yes, we can see why Tom would defend or why the character would defend this Russian spy by saying he's standing up for his country. He's just doing. We do the same thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting argument.
Excuse, right?
Okay. Especially early on when he was saying that he's entitled to the same constitutional rights, and be like, well, he's not an American, right. So he doesn't subscribe to everything that we do. Thereby, doesn't. So then it's kind of okay. Well, universal human rights then.
Right. Right.
But yeah, when he's arguing before the Supreme Court. Saying we should honor tip of the cap to him because he's doing what we have our guys doing.
Right,
it's an interesting argument. Of course, you're going to lose that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But it's a
five to four though.
Right,
it's very close,
and it's a logical argument. It makes sense, right? We can be so xenophobic in this country that we think, oh, everything we're doing.
Every country is.
Well, I guess so. Every country thinks they're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
but it's all
even when they get it wrong, their wrong is still better than your right.
Yeah. That's
more often than not.
But that's why I thought the movie echoed into what nowadays. Like, I'm not going to argue, but I think some people like who fight their fights in the middle. Like I said, I'm not an international politics major or a policies major at all in any way. But they're like they think they're doing the right thing for their country. They think they're doing the right thing for their cause, you know. And this guy, who knows how many lives this guy caused in real life?
Yeah,
by
what
doing
the collateral damage
stuff.
Of his action was. Right. Yeah, right. That's never expressed because if you do that, then the character's not likable, and
exactly.
We don't want him to live.
Exactly. When, and that's where I thought Steven, and that's why this is a Steven Spielberg film, is a feel good film to a degree. It doesn't go deep enough. Like you have the bullets coming into
the house.
But
yeah.
That's the only time you see like the ugly underbelly of Americana, and maybe
oh no, you see way worse when like the Germans are trying to cross the wall. Those kids,
right?
And
right.
They four of them get mowed down, especially the two on the West German side.
Yeah, yeah,
they get taken out by bullets. You're like Jesus,
which is juxtaposed to him seeing those kids at the end, like climbing the fences.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit much.
Yeah, well, that's.
Yeah.
It's older directors, they kind
of
late.
We already knew where it was going. But yeah. That was also one of the things the old guy behind me was like, oh, that's just like it was when he saw that in Germany. I'm not shitting you. Anytime something happened where it was blatantly obvious, you're like, yeah, of course. Of course. I think the woman now should be taken out of here and taken to like professional care if she can't follow along with that parallel that they're drawing. It's not like it was hidden or anything.
Right.
People got mowed down in gunfire. Of course, that's the first thing he's going to think of. But I did like the same woman being on the train went from she despised him to she had a little smile. Not too much, but she was, hey, you did do a good thing. I thought you were a shitty person before.
Right. But there wasn't more like, what was the cost of defending the guy with his firm? What was the cost of, there's only that one scene where they're like,
I know,
why have you taken all my stuff away? And it's like, I wanted more scenes between Amy Ryan and Tom Hanks. Like, look what you're doing to the family. Look what's happening to us. Like, you know, little Tommy's getting made fun of at school, or Janie's not can't get a date, or is getting like ostracized by her. Like, there has to be a real cost to these decisions. It isn't just about nobility. The reality is there are costs to these decisions, especially at the country, in the country at the time, you know, the Russians, we weren't that far away from McCarthy. Like McCarthy had just finished up. So the Red Scare was still very much prevalent in the country. So I would have liked to have seen more. That's just my feeling about it.
I just don't know where you're going to put that more in unless you make it a 3-hour film.
Oh, yeah.
Because okay. I don't think you can subtract any of the spy craft that goes on because then you'll just be lost.
No, you're right.
And you're like, why is this? Okay, they're really shady about, so they have to focus, but maybe they shouldn't just flesh out those aspects.
Yeah.
Maybe he just gets the case and he takes the case because he was on the Nuremberg trials and he understands the right to every person's defense, no matter how deplorable they may seem.
Yeah.
And I like the CIA scene where the guy was like, all right, so what's he saying? He's like, you know, and you are offending me.
Yeah.
On numerous fronts right now, which is a great, I like that scene. It is, he's a grown Boy Scout, but at the same time,
yeah,
I applaud the character for taking that stance of, you guys came to me. I got this through the pipeline. It's not from you directly.
Yeah.
So if you're hiring me, this is what comes with getting me.
Right.
And I'm not just going to feed you whatever the fuck you want to know.
Yeah.
You should have gotten some other patsy to do that for you, which I'm sure there was a line of guys. Apparently everybody else in the judicial system in New York wanted this guy fucking dead, and you're the only one willing to stand, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But
I think it's a film that probably could get better after a couple more viewings, maybe. I don't know if I don't I have this feeling like it might not be bad for me to go back and see it again because I saw it at a press screening. So you have everybody with their notes out and their pads out and writing stuff or their lights on and stuff. So you kind of have to deal with that while you're watching. But for me, I loved everything Tom Hanks did. I just thought overall the film didn't quite get there 100% for me to have the effect that it could have had because it's an important story. It's an important story.
Now, why do you think any of the, if they're standing in front of any kind of windows and whatnot, it was always a whitewash? The light, the natural light coming in from outside in every shot, whenever they're inside, is blindingly white. You can't see what's out there. Mm. So you're focused on what's happening in the room.
Right.
And I kept trying to figure out why Spielberg kept, like, what was his message or intent in that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if you focused on it and had come up with anything because I just saw it yesterday.
Okay.
And I haven't really, you know, rolled the idea around my head yet.
Uh-huh. Can you remind me of a scene where that happened?
Let's see. The first scene that comes up, the first one I can remember is when he's talking to They're meeting as lawyer and prisoner the first time.
Oh, in the
interrogation
room.
But it's all white
room.
There. But yes. It's any time that there's subterfuge going on.
Right.
If there's an outside and it's during the day, what's coming in is blindingly white. It washes out everything. So you can't see detail. You just see a blinding white light.
And at times it's soft focused as well around.
Yeah. Other times it's really hard edged. But for the most part, it's just like you cannot. Unless it's nighttime, you can still see through at nighttime. They don't do that. But during the day, you cannot see out.
It's probably to convey that singularity of focus. Like, it's like, okay, this is the only thing that I can focus on. It's the only thing that has my entire attention, right? That I'm a spy. I have to get to this. I have to get to this nickel. I have to find it under the park bench, and I have to get back to my house. I think what was fascinating from the beginning is you have him painting a self-portrait. I think it's fascinating to begin the movie like that because it's him seeing himself, how he sees himself.
Yeah.
And to juxtapose the comparison of his actual face when he turns around to what he's looking at, it's a fascinating thing because it's the whole film is about, you know, who is he? Yeah, who is he? And also, what face are you showing to whom?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so fun. And through the whole, like everybody, Tom Hanks, the lawyer, the German lawyer who is from The Lives of Others, that German film was really great. With Abel Gans, and then the other guy is a Swedish actor. He's a very well-known Swedish actor who plays Russian guy.
The Russian? That guy was great.
That was fucking great.
Yeah, he was great.
Every one of those scenes. I, you know, what is the rush? What is rush?
Yeah, exactly.
I
mean, it makes sense from his end. It's just like, you've had our guy for months.
Yeah.
Why can't we hold on to your guy for months and see what we get out? Like, we have no idea what he spilled to you.
This is not a good deal.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not wrong.
No, right.
Yeah, but at the same time, maybe the guy hasn't spilled anything.
Yeah.
And of course, he was going to get shown the back seat. There was never going to be any embrace.
Yeah.
Knew it before it happened.
Yep.
He's like, this is what you need to watch out for. And he's like, you're going straight to the back seat, man. But you've been gone too long.
And that's good script, though, isn't it? Because he has that scene with Tom at the beginning, and he says, the man who stands. You know, you think he's kind of insulting Tom because he says, you remind me of a guy.
Yeah, a man who's resolute in his convictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of
but a true, an actual someone to, like, he understands why his father said, watch this man.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
This guy lives by an honor that is commendable, respectable, and that, you know, I admire.
Yeah.
And then to see that, but.
And in the end, they both were. Him and the Russian spy. Hanks and the Russian spy were both.
Yeah, just in that the pilot is, and they all have good intentions. They're doing it for what they believe is the right thing.
But neither one gives anything up.
Yeah.
You know?
That we know of,
right.
Well, I mean, who knows what's been declassified at this point, but there's still all the black marker over. Even they declassify, there's still things that aren't.
Like those Nixon tapes. What did you think about the starkness of the East German
experience versus rest of the world?
The scene, like the sets and the decay of like,
I don't know.
Was that a statement on like, what did you think?
I don't know how true that was because, you know, after World War II, Berlin was destroyed.
Yes.
And then that's why we created the Marshall Act of trying to revitalize Europe because we need them to buy our goods.
Right.
So if we pump money and basically we're just creating a market for ourselves in the future.
Yeah.
And if that was kept from the East and they didn't get those funds to rebuild, then they would be living in rubble.
Right.
And if it is, you know, truly that bad where it's just, there's nothing. There's lines for everything.
Right.
What do you fucking, we want dirt? There's lines for dirt. There's lines for, it is, I just don't know how real that is. I assume it's fairly accurate.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, I don't recall ever hearing the Soviets trying to reinvest to build the infrastructure back up.
Right, right.
But once again, I don't know.
Yeah, I read a review of the film by this historian, and he said actually some of the representations are not correct, that East Berlin was built up a lot more than that at the time. But who can, like, but I don't know. Like, I don't, like, who knows, what area were they driving through that it could have still been?
Yeah, it was.
Out? We don't know, right?
That train area didn't seem so bad.
Yeah.
Where the train was going around the track. Like, all right, the down there looked like everybody had a nice house. But where Pryor got locked in, that seemed like, you know, a concrete shantytown almost. There's just bombed out buildings everywhere and there's rubble and they're just kind of taking that and building a wall out of it almost.
Yeah.
I don't know the truth of what the reality was at that time because I didn't live it and I don't know anybody that does.
Right.
So.
Did you ever feel any stress or tension through the film in those moments?
Not a lick.
Trying to get through.
Not a lick.
You always thought he was going to make
it. It's Tom Hanks. That's
not going to shoot him in the back of the head.
Yeah, that's the only fault of any movie like this.
There's no
real peril, because why else would the guy sign on unless it's a really great, interesting hook or twist or something, and it's going to be iconic. But yeah, no, never once. I thought the shakedown for the coat was going to end up being worse.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I thought, you know, money and this and passport, and it was going to fuck him up a little bit more.
Yeah,
but it didn't seem to.
The CIA guy was good. I thought that actor did a really good job as his counterpart.
Can't think of what else he's been in.
No, he hasn't been in much. He's a theater actor. He like won some Drama Circle Award recently, and so this is one of his first few films, like big roles in a film.
Yeah,
so
he did well.
He did really well. And I love that scene, where that old school like kind of spy scene where he comes out, Tom Hanks comes out in the rain with the umbrella, and he thinks
he hides behind
the car. It's such
a great
twist.
He got away with it. Yeah, I love that.
He's never found in deficit. I think that's what's so fascinating about that character. No matter what situation Tom Hanks, the character, is in, he finds his way out of it through negotiation. Whether it's hard or soft or compromising negotiation, with every scene he's able to figure out his way. Like, he convinces the judge not to kill him, not to kill the Russian spy, Rudolf Abel. He convinces the CIA guy that you can't stop me from making this negotiation.
Yeah, you can't. You asked me to do this.
Right. I'm not under your jurisdiction.
Yeah, I'm under no one's.
When he's in the CIA, when the CIA guy comes from behind him and they go to have a drink, Tom Hanks has a hard negotiation with him and walks out. Because he's like, you're not going to fuck with me. And so it's all these things that he's always in, with the German guy, with the fucking Russian guy. He plays it up with the Russian guy because the Russian guy likes to have his ego stroked, likes to feel like they're having a good time, but he's still firm what he believes. With the German guy, it's more stark. It's more different because things are more black and white.
Well, it's also two lawyers.
Right, two lawyers as well. That as well, yes. Absolutely.
Which I love the early on talking about the accident.
Oh, yeah.
My guy didn't have five accidents. He had one accident. It's just like, well, that is a world view. That's a specific view. In reality, I side with the other lawyer of, no. You hit five separate people. Those are five separate claims.
Exactly.
But to pull that up later when he was like, this isn't a two, three separate deals.
Right.
This is just one man for, you know, it's a one-one-and-one. And why are we trying to overcomplicate this?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I the idea of him acting in the best interest of the two detainees, which I think he did the smart thing of leveraging – this kid means nothing to you. And I love that discussion with the attorney general from the German GDR.
Yeah, oh my God.
With his subordinate.
Yeah.
All and he kids. Talks to him and he's like,
so great.
I want you to tell him that basically this is all going to be on his head and he has to tell Russia.
Yeah.
And in reality, Russian spy is much more valuable than pilot and student.
Yes.
So if you can get all them back for the cost of this one guy who actually knows secrets,
right,
knows potentially other spies, knows how they trade secrets, how they get things across, maybe what missions are planned, like, this guy's worth something.
Yeah.
This is a fucking pilot, and he only knows so much, just like we don't tell our pilots shit, because why would you?
No.
They're testosterone-driven, drunken idiots, more than likely.
Whoa.
Well, I'm just saying.
Whoa, man.
All the stereotypes, like, we've all seen the right stuff. Those guys are hard living on the edge of, like, they're adrenaline junkies.
Yeah, but those aren't spy pilots. Those are fucking NASA pilots.
But it's the same thing. Those guys just got basically...
Oh, you mean pilots in general?
Well, yeah, but the ones that do the B-2, they're almost, you know, just kind of like, you took those tests. Now you're doing this. You have no say in the matter.
Right.
And no one's allowed to know. We're only going to tell you so much.
Yeah.
You know, yes, these cameras can take this much,
right,
but you don't know anything beyond that. You don't know where it goes.
Yeah, you don't know what you're taking pictures
of. Exactly. You don't have the slightest clue. We're only telling you so much.
Right.
Because if you get caught, then we're only exposed so much.
Yeah. It was interesting that you didn't know that they were jumped. Like, he was in there for years. Like, he was in there for 3 years, Francis Gary Powers, the American guy. He was in there for 3 years.
Okay.
So you don't know.
Yeah, they
know
make it
that.
Seem like a
yeah,
6 months to a year.
They make it seem as like it's really quick thing. And it's actually been for a long time. So who knows how many times he was going back and forth between Russia and the States, or Germany rather, and the States, the Tom Hanks character. That's what I was fascinated by, because he didn't just show up and then negotiate in like 2 weeks. It took a long time.
Yeah.
And so like this whole thing that I'm on a business trip, my wife's waiting. Like, I wonder how much of that is an embellishment. Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm sure a ton of it.
Storyline, yeah.
Well, yeah, if it's 3 years and they compressed a lot of negotiations down into 6 days.
Right.
You know, but you kind of have to for the sake of the story, because the thing's already going pretty long.
Yeah.
And like I said before, they could have fleshed out other aspects. And now if we have them jet setting back and forth and back and forth, then the story's going to take forever to get to fruition.
Right. And how much is his wife really believing this business every
time? Now it's like every couple months he's leaving for a week or something. And I think it's better just to get it over and done with.
Right. Is there anything else you want to say about the film, the cinematography or anything, or the direction?
I thought it was good. I thought they did a great job on the costumes and set design.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I liked a lot of the smaller care, like the policeman that gets in his face of, why would you do this?
Oh, yeah.
When he's at his house and the detective's trying to
that's right.
ward him off.
Such a great moment.
Yeah, but it is kind of like the general consensus, I'd assume, was that. Everybody was just like, this guy deserves to die.
Right.
Why are you sticking to, are you a communist?
Right.
Because you're not American.
But that's what's going on now, isn't it? Oh, yeah, you're a socialist? Oh, this is what I mean. There's echoes of it in now. And
yeah.
A lot of people accused Lincoln of being his thing for Obama, like his film for Obama. He was comparing Lincoln to Obama. Like he made Obama's Lincoln. And that's what a lot of people said about Lincoln.
All right, I've never heard that before, but yeah. You can make a case for that, yeah, sure.
I guess you could. I mean, if you wanted to Google it, there are articles that discuss it. And I was just like, I'd never heard that either until I was reading about this film and people's reviews of this film. And they were saying that he had done that with Lincoln. And I was like, well, what is the deal? And
so this is the answer to the critics saying there was too much of an Obama love fest?
Right.
Okay.
And even Austin Stowell, when I interviewed him, he said he kind of let it be known that certain people were saying the film was anti-American because it was saying how mean people were to this.
I think they were just scared and confused.
Right. This is what real life is. It doesn't have to be anti-American or pro-American. It's just like, this is how people react. This is how people flip
out. Well, look, you're sold a bill of goods, like his son when they have all that thermonuclear war day.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes home and it's like, this needs to be done because I can't imagine all of a sudden that doesn't exist to there's a bomb that could destroy everything.
Yeah. And just, let's watch it on a student film on the microfiche or whatever, or those black and white things, so it can scare you even more and tell you bullshit.
And as well it should.
Yeah.
A thermonuclear device is a scary proposition. Just liquidating everything within a certain blast radius, depending on how far up into the atmosphere you exploded. There's a certain point at which there's a sweet spot. And if you get it to explode in this altitude above, it will do much more devastation and damage than if we let it hit the ground. Because the physical barriers of the ground will eventually slow down the reactions and contain the energy. Whereas if we do it just a little bit in the air, guys, we could spread that energy out over a larger distance and do more destruction. I mean, it's evil. Okay. Somebody sat down and crunched the numbers and was like, this is the most efficient way to kill the most number of people or destroy the most buildings. Oh, yeah. I mean, that shit is... Like, you ever seen The Fog of War?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The McNamara.
McNamara's talking about the firebombings
in
Japan. And he's like, look, if we lost, I'm a war criminal for those things.
Yep.
We destroyed more in the firebombings than we did with the nuclear attacks.
Yeah.
And then they start rifling off the numbers. And you're like, oh, my fucking God. I did not know that we did that until that documentary. Now I've read, articles and whatnot on it. But you're like, Jesus. I mean, we'd already destroyed so much of the country. They're all wooden buildings. Guess what? We're just going to drop in firebombs, massive Molotov cocktails, and just watch it burn.
That's the thing, Matt. It's a great thing you say, Matt. There's a lot of knowledge out there. People don't have the time to go look for it. They're too busy trying to live their lives, but they think they can make these honest assessments about situations, about complex situations or multi-layered issues. Like they're going to just fucking, they can't balance their checkbook, but they can tell you what the fuck's going on. Fuck out of here, man. Do your research, do your work. But a lot of people can't. And so it's like,
there's so many issues and they're all so complex that who has the time to really sit down and delve into all of them?
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, and then the film, there's a lot of that in the film. There's a lot of issues being brought up that takes a little more time to navigate and figure out and all the different things, the different parties that have to get involved. So it's just to negotiate a hostage transfer.
Yeah, which should be an easy proposition. Yeah.
Imagine negotiating pieces of land or whatever.
But I just love that my favorite part was all the statecraft. We can't acknowledge you.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there watching going, that sounds about right. That's because if it goes south of cheese, we can't be at fault. So we need deniability. And you're going to provide that for us.
You're going to be the nice cover for
us. Yeah, you might be cannon fodder. We don't know.
We don't know.
But we'll find out, I guess. See you back here in a couple weeks.
Don't forget the marmalade.
Yeah. I know. I love that.
That was great.
I didn't understand the joke, though, at the end of that when he got it from the specific store.
Yeah, it was a grocery store on the corner, so he never got it from London.
Oh, that's what she said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why, who knows?
It was just on a corner. And he's like, I know, I'm sorry. It was funny.
That was one thing, that all the relationship jokes with all the elderly couples slayed.
Oh, really?
Slayed. Oh, they loved it. Oh, when he was trying to hold her hand at dinner. And she eventually just swats at it. I haven't heard a general laugh across the board like that in a while. Where I'm, trust me, my wife and I were the youngest in there. By like decades? If you took the median age, we were younger by than the median age probably by 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah, there were some people that should have had oxygen tanks. Like it was an old. I've never been in a room full of that many old people seeing a movie. It's crazy.
You're doing a bit right now. You're just
not
into stand-up comedy right now.
Not at all. but any like jokes like that, like really soft-pedaled, but good, well-crafted, great for the characters' jokes.
Right.
Just destroyed in the room. And you're like, yeah, that makes sense. Trust me, I've tailored my act before for it's a room full of. X and above. Yeah. All right, I will take out these because they're not going to like those jokes. And you push in these, and you do more family stuff and stuff like that.
Right.
You got to assess your crowd.
That's a smart move.
Yeah,
they got to like you. All right. Is there anything more you want to say, man?
No. I mean,
would you recommend it? Would you recommend it?
I would say if you're into like any kind of political, movies,
absolutely,
it's worth the see. Yep. Do I think it's an Oscar contention? No. Will it potentially be? Yes, because it's Spielberg and Hanks.
Oh yeah. Well, I think Rylance will definitely be nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
You think so?
I think that's certainly possible. I think it's in the realm of possibility.
I think they went to the well one too many times with that joke. Would it help if I was?
Oh, yeah.
The third time on the bridge, it was just like, the second one was good, guys. The third one was getting greedy. I think there's only three.
Yeah. Don't mess around with the master of comedy, Matt. No.
Well, it's not even. It's just the first time was great.
Yeah, it was very good.
Would it help?
I agree.
And just like the idea that you're so detached.
Yeah.
Because you've already made your peace. You knew that if you ever got caught, that's been in your mind since day one.
Yeah.
So you had to make your peace with that at some point.
Right.
And this is how you're assessing it. And I bet you on some level, you're kind of relieved. Like, okay, it's over.
Right.
I don't have to hide anymore and live in constant kind of fear.
Yeah. And the logic actually, in some fucked up way, makes sense.
Yeah.
There is no point in worrying. Things are going to happen the way they're going to happen.
Exactly. I can't change the outcome.
Me worrying doesn't make it so.
What am I? The only thing that's going to change if I tell them I'm a spy and then start helping the government. And that's not going to happen. So kill me. Do whatever you're going to do.
Take me out. Okay, well, that's our review. I would recommend it to, I would say a matinee. I would say go see it at a matinee. I wouldn't say pay full price.
Sure.
That's how I determine value of films. I would say, like, is it a cool one to go see for $6 or $8 in a matinee? Definitely. It's good. It's definitely an afternoon film. You don't have to watch it at night.
No.
You could do a lunch afterwards or a lunch before like you did.
Yeah.
By the way, do you avoid pizza when you go and have lunch with your dad, stepdad?
Well, I mean,
because you guys have a pizzeria,
we do. But like, she never brings me home pizza.
Oh, okay.
Unless I specifically ask for it. There's a pizza of the month.
Oh, nice.
They're only around for obviously the 30 days.
Yeah.
So I'll have her bring me home one of those every month.
Right.
But it's also a function of like, you know, being a former fat guy.
Oh,
there's certain foods that are just like, I don't want to because
carbs.
Well, I'm not going to have a slice. I'll have four slices.
Right.
And that's not healthy.
I hear you.
Yeah. It's that and like burgers and fries. I won't do that either. Yeah. I'll have the occasional burger every once again, but I've cut off fries and it's been tough.
Yeah.
But it's been so long now that I don't care. Every once again, I'll pick and have like one or two, but I just don't because I can eat three extra large McDonald's fries. No problem. It's just like, these things are delicious. I can just pound these down, man. I used to love that.
That's correct.
Yeah, it is. It's delicious.
All right. Well, after that sidebar, let's wrap it up here. Bridge of Spies. Well,
by the way, if you live in Southern California, you like pizza, no bullshit, it is phenomenal. And I will...
What is?
My wife's pizza.
Well, tell her, pitch it.
Yeah. I'm just saying. It's called Two Saucy Broads. If you live in Fullerton, go down, check it out. It's fantastic. I've been meaning to bring you... I was going to have some, like, everyone eventually.
I would have loved
just
some.
Be like, hey, you want to, you know, if you're coming over... We know we're going to do a bunch of these. I can have pizza here. It's not
next
a problem.
Time.
It's easy enough.
All right. I'll limit you to one. I'll have the other three.
Well, I can tell you, you know, here are your options, or we can do off-menu stuff.
Yeah. What's
she does an off-menu vegetarian pizza for me and her that is so good. I hate vegetarian pizza.
I need meat.
Yeah, exactly. Pizza has meat. It ain't pizza if it doesn't have meat. But this is the only exception I will make. And be like, but if you're going to do that one, I will fucking eat that because it is delicious.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It's like a roasted artichoke and these sauteed onions. And it's all these things that she has on the menu, but it's not on one pizza. And she and I like all these things. And we're like, let's fucking get that.
That's smart.
But yeah, Saucy Broads. Check it out.
Two Saucy Broads.
I've been meaning to bring pizza a few times now.
In Fullerton.
Two Saucy Broads
in Fullerton. All right. Maybe we can get them to sponsor the show.
I brought it up. Trust me, it's been a conversation.
Put it in the budget.
She's not against it.
Well, then, anytime if anybody's listening and you go to Two Saucy Broads in Fullerton, mention the Top 10 show. If enough people show up, I'm sure it'll convince them. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. We can get enough.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Matt and I both recommend the movie.
Yeah. Please keep rating us on iTunes.
Yeah, definitely.
And talk to you guys on YouTube.
Yeah, take care.